Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. Our goal is that by listening to our podcast, you will be inspired to level up. With the help of some amazing guests, we'll be inspired by some inspirational success stories and find out how you can level up your business, your life, and your relationship with yourself. Because I know that by leveling up and balancing these three aspects of your life, you can make a difference and impact the lives around you. Level Up Podcast will be a series of interviews featuring successful professionals who are making a mark and a difference in their lives and others. They will share their incredible stories of how they did it, so you can be inspired and learn from the very best.
All right, well, I'm excited.
Let's go.
Well, welcome, Daniel G. I'm extremely excited to have you on our podcast today, and it's been an interesting journey to get to you, but I'm super excited. I know you're an extremely busy person, coach, traveling all over the world, and to have the opportunity to sit down with you today, it's an honor. Thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll dive in. We want to know about Daniel G today.
Yes, no, I'm excited for it. And I know right before, so the audience, if people are watching this, I think it's going to be valuable because people could, you know, I know you want to, you know, understand a little bit about my personal life and my story, et cetera. And, you know, everybody always just sees the highlight reel on Instagram. And I think as a great coach, you're supposed to show your game face. That's the whole point. I know a lot of people say like,
Absolutely. Oh,
we want to, you know, we would love to see like your ups and downs. But I say, you know, in a leadership position, you don't show when things are going well, or you don't show when things are going bad. You're always in poker face. You're always in game face. And I just learned that very early on being with, you know, around my grandfather. He said, you know, don't let people know your business, and your face shows your business more than your words do, right? So I've always been able to have good energy and have good game face, but I'm excited to do this. So thank you for having me.
We're definitely getting into that. So thank you so much for coming on board. I know we're going to get into know who Daniel D is. The biggest thing I always like to kind of get to know, tell us about your bringing up, about your childhood. Tell us a little bit about what was that like for you growing up. I remember you mentioned you're from Canada, correct?
Yeah, I was born and raised in right outside of Toronto, Canada. You know, I was the kid that did everything inside of life. Like I tested and tried everything. So like my advice today for people is like, test and try everything until you figure out what you're good at. Doesn't mean necessarily what you're passionate about, like what you're good at. So I picked up every single sport. I DJed, I music produced, I sold everything. And then I grew up, my parents split up at the age of, I think it was about 11 or 12 years old. And we went from a middle-class family to lower middle class. And then I started to realize, I said, okay, well, money's getting a little bit tighter. I need to start making money. The whole thing with sports does not pay you at the age of 12. It's probably going to pay you at the age of like 18. So I said, well, this is dumb because I'm not going to get paid from this. So I quit sports very fast. Then I quit sports in my mind, meaning like I stopped saying I want to become a professional because I couldn't make money in it that fast, right? And in business and sales, you can make money fast. So I got into a sales job at the age of 14. Like I was recruited into my first sales job, door-to-door sales at the age of 14. And I did it because, you know, I lacked money and I was hungry to make money and I had desire to make money. And I was working under my brother's social insurance card at the age of 14. And I fell in love with it after I liked it.
How did that came along? That is an interesting story you mentioned. So you couldn't even work, but you were already working, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the company didn't even know. They thought I lied. I looked like my brother growing up. The company didn't even know my name was Daniel. They thought it was Steven for the first 2 years.
Oh my God. Wow.
Until I was 16, I told them, hey, by the way, because I said, can you guys give me a nickname? So it wasn't weird them calling me Steven. So they gave me a nickname called Mini Blood. So then when I was 16, I'm like, hey, by the way, now that you guys can't fire me because I'm legal to work, I was working under my brother for the name under the last year and a half.
Wow. And I know you mentioned at the event, we met through an event and it was amazing to hear you speak. But one of the things that really resonate with me when you said something about, you know, I got motivated because there was somebody showing you how to make this amount of money and you just were hungry for money. So I'm assuming it's because, like you said, household, we needed money. We saw that money was tight. We needed to bring money. Is there something that it was expected from you, or it was something you just decided to do for the family?
You know, I think for me, I just didn't like not having control inside of life. And that it's still like today, if you know what it feels like not to have money, you're never in control when you don't have money. When people ask me like, what does money mean to you? I say a little bit more control. And they say, well, what do you mean? I say, well, number one, you never got to ask people for things. I don't like asking because I don't like to be obligated by nothing. So like, I didn't want to go up to my dad and say, hey, dad, can I have $20? Well, you have to go cut the grass. I don't want to have to do something, right? And then I have to ask for something in return. I'd rather just go sell somebody something and I get paid and I have control of my money. So I just liked having money since I was young, like, because I didn't want to be under the sense of obligation to nobody. I liked being in control. That's the first thing. The second thing was like, I never wanted the other people around me to feel like we had to be restricted of certain things of what we could say yes and what we could say no to because we don't have money, because I wanted it all when I was young. So when I was 14 years old, I wanted to go out for lunch. And when I wanted to go to a certain lunch spot, like this was the reality of it. When I was in high school, there would be this burrito spot. Now that I can like reflect back on my early days, there would be like a burrito spot. And my friends would walk to McDonald's because McDonald's was only about $1.39 for a double cheeseburger. The burritos was, it started at $5 and would go up to about 10. So I was with my four best friends, right? Like all the four friends that I grew up with elementary school. And no matter what we do, we always do it together. Nobody's allowed to go separate from lunch. We have to go eat at the same lunch spot together. So I started thinking to myself, I started saying like, well, what if I just made so much money on the weekends that I just pay for lunch for everybody? And it just became this thing where I was like, yeah, don't worry. You guys owe me. And I had a spreadsheet of everybody owing me. They would never pay me back, but I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I wanted to bring my friends along. So I just went to go make more money. And the same shit happens till today, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I want to make so much money that I can do what I want to do. And people don't have to come in my ear that I love and I like and I admire and I respect, my family and friends, and say, hey, but we can't go on that vacation. No, you're going to come. I'm going to pay.
There we go. So you having the freedom to do what you want and not having to be restricted or asking someone else to do it for you. So control.
Correct. Yes. So yes.
That's interesting. Well, again, and moving on, was there a turning point in your life that you said, this is what I meant to do. Sales is what I need. This is what it really fulfills me. Was there any point that you're like, maybe I should do something else? Because I know you got into very young. So
yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I look at my career for the first 5 years, I didn't like necessarily think I was in sales. I was just doing a job like door-to-door sales, but I'm like, oh, that's not going to be like this big career. One day I'm in school in university and I get sold into university for like 6 months. My best friend comes up to me and I start telling him, I'm like, hey bro, I have this side job of sales that I'm doing on top of university. Cause they knew I was always in sales for the first, like since I was growing up and I always had money. And I said, I'm doing this side job in sales and I'm thinking about dropping out. So my closest people that know me around me, he's like, yeah, I think you should do it. I'm like, okay, cool. So one of my best friends confirmed my thoughts. And then I was doing presentations in university and I'd be like, man, you're so good at presenting. Like you should be in sales. So, you know, in life, you never get the answer direct. You always get it in different sides of the universe. You know, it comes to you in like five different shapes and forms. So I'm starting to think, I'm sitting down and I'm writing this exam, international business. And this thought just comes to me being like, this is not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be in sales. And as I'm thinking this thought, I get a text message from my part-time sales job that I'm doing saying, hey, Daniel, that deal that you were doing last night or two nights ago just closed. You made $5,000 commissions, right? And I'm writing the test and I just got a text message saying, you finally closed that deal. You made $5,000 commissions. And I've never made $5,000 commissions in one sale. I was only making small door-to-door commissions. I'm like, I made $5,000. As I'm writing the test, then all the signs start to come. The text message, my friends, I drop my pen. I walk out of the lecture hall and I just stayed in sales for the rest of my life. I'm like, there's no way a 19-year-old or an 18-year-old kid makes $5,000 in commissions and there's not something happening here special.
Right.
So
now, was the family supportive as well? Like mom, brother, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think I don't like to say people weren't supportive of me. I think more so people are confused. So like my family just They're just, I tell people when they don't get supported from their family, I say, it's not that your family doesn't support you. It's very hard to support cold heart, like full heartedly, what you don't understand. So like my family wouldn't understand an 18-year-old kid saying, hey, by the way, I want to be in sales for the rest of my life. It's hard to support. Even when I go to my family and say, hey, by the way, I want to build a sales agency. It's hard to support. When I want to build a sales training company, what's a sales training company? That's hard to support. So do they always know I give my 150% in things? Yes. And I think what made my family not question my moves, like meaning like not support me. They didn't have to be the type of family that's like, you're going to be the best salesperson in the world. But what made my family not question me and give me a bunch of stress working in my job was they always knew that whatever I did, I took it serious. Like I was all in, whether it was for a week, a month, or a year, I was like fully obsessed with it. So I always say this, and it's very good for the viewers to listen to. I say, people don't question people that know where they're headed. So nobody questions like an Olympian when Olympians going for a gold medal at the Olympics, their family's not saying, hey, by the way, why are you working so hard? Why are you training so hard? They know that Olympian's going for a gold medal. They know Messi's going for the World Cup. They know Cristiano Ronaldo's going to be a great soccer, but they know they're going for the top. So I say most people inside of business and life, their family doesn't support them because their family doesn't know where they're headed. They don't know how serious they are to it, right? So it's like, it's almost a reflection of like where you got to sit back and say like, do I show my family I know where I'm headed? Because they will at least not question me if I show them I'm serious.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask, because a lot of young individuals will be watching this and a lot of times they want to do something. The family is not supportive. Well, they're saying you should go to school. As you were saying, being at the university, you know, at that age, 18, 19, most kids are thinking, or sometimes they don't even know what they're going, right? And they're thinking the school is what I need to be. And a lot of times in sales, I've learned over the years, I have many coaches, I've been in sales myself for over 20 years. And I realized that a lot of times it's at that point where you're like, you know, this is what I like. And it might not be the traditional way, but I still enjoy or I'm going for this 100% because this is what I feel that I, you know, fit in terms of I have the, like you have the talent, you have the charisma, you have the energy, you have all of those assets that most people will obviously see and you could be amazing in sales and they can see it. And obviously you believing on it was completely 100%. And the fact that the family was obviously supportive, it's great. And the reason I brought it up, like I said, is because some kids at that age, they don't even know what they want to do.
Right. And you know, maybe sometimes people think like when they're sitting down at 16, 17, 18, 19, they're like, you know, I would love to get in sales, but you know, I just don't have the charisma or I don't have the energy or the attitude. Well, I would say this, salespeople are made, they're not born. So like, I had, yes, good energy and good attitude and good charisma, but I was definitely made. Like I definitely had to study my product. I definitely had to study sales a little bit. I definitely had to study the script. Like they're made because anybody can have good charisma, but not make millions of dollars inside of life. I know a lot of people like that, that have great charisma and great attitude. But they're made. So I don't want people to discredit themselves when they don't think they can't do well inside of sales. You salesperson is made, you know?
Awesome. Now into that, do you have any specific mentors, any specific things you did as you got into the industry and got good at it? Is there anybody mentoring that was taking you under the wing and said, this is how you do it. This is what you need to do.
Majority of the time it was books from people that some of them have even passed away, but it was the old timers inside of sales that have done really well.
What books got you that you know got you going? Tell us about those books. What books would you recommend someone looking at?
Yeah, of course. I mean, some of the greatest books. The first one is How to Master the Art of Selling by Tom Hopkins. Great book. It's a green book. Tom Hopkins sold 365 homes in one full calendar year, so he's a great sales trainer. I wrote, Sales Success by Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar's books, 101 of Selling, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, Jeffrey Gittemore, The Sales Bible, The Little Red Book of Selling. Like all these were the fundamentals of sales. And then the only thing that shifts from the sales techniques is, you know, that our buyer today is a little bit more faster and trained than ever. So it's those sales techniques with understanding that we have a fast-paced and educated buyer today. But those were the books I studied. Little Red Book of Selling, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is like the Bible of communication. And then also Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, another great Bible. And then something even now, by Napoleon Hill is, what God is about to give you during your hard times. If you search that up, Napoleon Hill on YouTube, like I still to today listen to the same things that I used to listen to when I was 16. So like there's something on YouTube called Napoleon Hill, the Master Keys of Success. It's a 2-hour video on YouTube. And I've been watching that every single night before I go to bed for the last 15 years.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Because again, some of those things are, you even said, they're on YouTube. People have access to them. Something that I learned recently is we're at the age where there's so much opportunity, so much information available that it does take for those who are serious about their career, their business, to go out and find the resources and find what's needed for them to be successful. Is there any specific thing you recall in getting started in sales that you're like, okay, this was the thing that got me to go, even though I wasn't doing well? Because we all have those, like you said, we don't show it, but we do have it. Is there any advice you have for, because we do have a lot of sales people that we're watching this, real estate related and even in other businesses, but any specific advice you will give them when things are not going the way they want them to and they're about to give up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I always say the beauty about sales is that you can reset at every single cycle and every single month. That is the true beauty about it. Like I it's not about even like a bad month or a bad day leads into a bad week. A bad week leads into a bad month. And a bad month always leads into a bad year. Like when people get swept under the waves of a bad year, they usually get annihilated by a bad month and they usually have a low commission week. And it's usually because they had a down day. Like that whole cycle leads into a bad year. So instead of training somebody how to reset after a bad month of commissions, I say, do you know how to reset throughout the day? Because if you know how to reset, like this is the winning edge of every single winner. It could be 2 p.m. and a winner still knows they got 9 hours left of the day. And they say, you know what? Let me reset like it's 6 a.m. Nobody talks about this. Like this is truly what winners do. Like we all have bad days. I would love for people to know on this podcast that 50%, actually, you know what? I lied. 80%, the truth is this, 80% of the time, I don't want to do the things that I have to do. That I have to do 80% of the time. So, and by the way, I don't want to do it with excitement and energy, but I have the ability to reset and say, okay, wait, new day. Like half of the time when people see me on camera, I had to reset before I went on camera. I had to reset before I went on stage and say, okay, it's a new day. Like wake up at 6 a.m. again. So I sometimes have like 4 days in one day. The ability to reset throughout the day, like that, because sales is a reset game. You could reset throughout the day. You could reset through the cycle and say, okay, it's a new day, 6 a.m. The day starts now, but it's really 3 p.m. Like a winner knows they still have 7-8 hours left in the day. So I love having that word inside of my head where I'm like, okay, just reset. Bad 4 hours of the morning. Something happened. This personal problem happened inside of your life. Reset. Because the reason why I'm saying the reset's important, because the reset, you have to be alive. In some other jobs, you could be quiet with no smile on your face and you don't have to interact with people. But in sales, you have to reset because you have to be like, okay, it's like I just had a cup of coffee. I got to smile on this next call. Right? So I love the word reset.
So having the opportunity to reset every time you're going through those bad moments and know that you have the capability to do so. Having the attitude that I can make this happen. Even if my morning was not the best, I can still make the rest of the day be successful. Yes. Because I can get my mindset to get going and start all over again. Typically, for
Tony Robbins once said, sorry, Bertha, to cut you off. Tony Robbins once said at one of the first seminars that I attended from him, he said, I was young. He said, winners cry, but they only cry for 60 seconds. But he's like, winners cry, but they give themselves a time frame to cry. He's like, it's okay to cry. one manly tear if you're a man. It's okay. He's like, it's not okay when you cry for 6 days, but it's okay to feel your emotions, but give yourself a time frame to feel those emotions, right? So it's like, I think what I've learned how to balance out personally inside of my life is that I'm not hard on myself when I had a bad 4 hours in the morning. I say, this is normal, reset. Like, it's okay to cry. Not physically cry, but it's okay to get mad. It's okay to have an off day. It's okay to say something bad. You are a human being. Like, you know, that's the whole point, is that you could forgive yourself, reset on the day, and start fresh again. So it's like the formula from a winner to somebody that constantly can't get success inside of their business is that winners give themselves a time frame to cry and to be sad and to lose. They just don't stay in it for a while.
There
that's
you
it.
Go.
Everybody hits their lows inside a business. It's just how long you stay in the low.
And becoming aware of it. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years, being aware, okay, I'm feeling like, oh, what can I do to change that? Some people don't even realize they're going through it because they're just leaving their emotions and allow their emotions to take over. And they don't acknowledge when it's time for me to just step back and reset, because this was not a good moment for me. Thank you so
Correct.
Much for sharing
yes.
that. Now, when it comes to coaching, I know you do many presentations, you do so many, you know, even Instagram lives, and you do on your reels, and it's so much motivation out there. And do you have any, and I heard about school, what do you have going on right now for salespeople that you can help them get into this mindset of having the ability to reset and work on themselves?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I always say, like, I really, really want to mention this, that I truly believe that I've designed my social media to be a school system within itself. Like, okay. I'm like, I hope people that have zero money can just go to my social media, learn, get inspired, and get motivated. That's like, I mm-hmm. do my social media as if I was Daniel G 16 and this thing, Instagram came out, and I'm knocking on doors and I'm like, oh, like this Daniel G guy made a post today. Let me go learn from it, because I'm broke right now and I can't go afford his program for $37, right? So there's three forms of my coaching. The first one is free. The second one is my sales school, which is $37. And the third one, after 6 years of development, is literally just launching in May, which is our sales leadership. So people like that are like in your position, and people that have already been in sales for the last decade, couple of decades, have a little bit of a team, want to grow and scale a team. We're developing something that's more of like a sales leadership model to help sales leaders. So there's like people that have no money stay on my social media to afford one of my sales programs. Then when you make money inside of my sales programs, then you can go into a leadership program. So I really want to, you know, serve people wherever they're at. But regardless of the fact, whatever time frame I have, I've never treated social media like I got to hold back. Like today, I'm doing training videos that are going to go on my social media that is going to make somebody money, because it's how to close a sale, how to deal with an objection, et cetera. And I don't say, oh, but they got to buy my course in order to do it. I say, no, just give it to them. The course is more for intimacy, going a little deeper, relating with people, building a community, but just give everything to everybody. Like, serve from your heart. The money will come on the back end, right?
There you go. And I was going to go there for a moment too, because I feel like a lot of times in our business, people think it's just the money, your money. And yeah, the money is great, but at the end of the day, what fulfills Daniel G? Like, apart from making all the money in the world, what fulfills you? What makes you feel alive? What makes you feel like I'm on the right path? What do you do?
I mean, the easiest thing is this, is that I live up to my highest form of potential. Okay. Like, that I think is the most fulfilling thing for any human being. When number one, is there a lot of micro things that will make every human being feel great? I get it's a feeling. So like, if you donate to charity, you're going to feel great. If you go on stage and you impact 10,000 people, you are going to feel, see, it always goes back to you as a human being, feel great. But as long as I can live up to the potential that God has put in inside of me, that I always question myself. And I always say like, am I capable of more? Because like, think of it, if we are God's highest form of creation inside of life, like we are a human being, we are God's highest form of creation, then I always constantly ask myself, I say, yes, doing all these amazing things, helping people out, serving people, doing stages, getting on shows, doing always giving my energy out 24/7, I just wanna know that I'm truly living in alignment, number one, of who I say I want to be like in the future and who I'm inspired by, number one. Number two, that I can always live up to my potential. So when somebody says, why do you push so hard? Why do you have, how do you keep going? And you've been doing this for forever. Why, like, I always just see you keep going. I say, listen, I just want to see what I'm capable of. You know, I just want to see what potential that I have. And I, sometimes you got to get pushed back and say, okay, you're not there yet, or you shouldn't be doing that this yet. But for me, it all comes down to potential. And then the other thing is, I feel like this is one of the biggest motivators of confidence and energy inside of life, for especially for salespeople. I see myself like a walking gift. So most salespeople that don't do well, or just in business, or people that have low confidence, they feel like they're an interruption to somebody's day. Like, they always kind of feel like, I don't know if I, like, you know, should be talking to that person. That you know, I shouldn't annoy that person. Call. I say, listen, if you want to get really good at sales, you are a gift and a blessing to everybody, because you're always now moving with the energy that you could change that person's life. So in my office, my saying, Bertha, is it's Christmas 24/7. We're always giving to people. That's it. It's Christmas. So,
and I think the giving comes with fulfillment and knowing you're doing something for others as well. And it's not all about you. It's about what impact that you're making on other people's lives, how you're changing their business, how you're changing, you know, their results by applying what they learn from you. So that's an amazing gift to have. And obviously, we do want to continue to give. Another question that I wanted to bring up to you is, what legacy do you want to leave? Let's say one day, you're very young, obviously, there's so much to be done, but what is the legacy that Daniel G would like to leave?
Yeah, I mean, talking about like the whole gift thingy too as well, and like just going back on it, last thing on that, like, I think it's more so like sometimes when I do things, it's like whether you give money to somebody or you train somebody on Instagram or you help a significant other out, I think it's more so of like hope and dignity. Meaning when you, sometimes people don't understand that when you compliment somebody or you treat somebody good or you service somebody or you give back to a charity, the reason is because you're giving somebody hope that, oh, somebody cares about me. Somebody's like, like, that's the point of like, that's the point of giving back to charity. That's the point of giving a dollar out of your 10 to donate. It's because like, it's not because of what the dollar does. It's just that, oh, somebody's thinking about me. And that just somebody gives somebody a sense of life that that individual might not like feel like nobody cares about them. But when you can recognize other individuals and you could be like, wait, every single person in the world wears a sign on their head saying, please recognize me, I'm struggling. And when you could see that as a leader, you start to say like, oh, wow, people just want to be recognized that they're humans. I couldn't tell you how many messages, Bertha, that I've gotten over the last 6 years of people saying, I really wanted to take my life. When I met you, when I've seen you, when I've heard your story, when you've talked to me, when you gave back to us, like, I was so close to being like, I want to give up. And I've gotten dozens of these messages, not one. Like, to being like, I felt horrible and I was on the last days. And then I just realized, I'm like, oh, I give people hope that there's more inside of life. Like, you're recognized. I could see you. And that's the point of being a human being in life, is to make other people feel seen, right? And compliment people and make people have a different perspective of what they think other people think about them. So what's so important, that line I just said, and people are going to miss that, it's like, you know, people don't operate life of what they think about themselves. They don't operate life of how other people think about them. Jay Shetty said this. He said,
oh my God, I was going to say, life, there's a quote.
People live their life off what they think other people think about them. That's how they operate their life. It's not even the reality of what other people think. It's just what they think other people think about them. The reason why I'm saying that is because it's your job as a human to make that person's perspective wrong, that all human beings aren't judging you 24/7, and to be like, hey, I love your shoes. Because maybe other people are like, oh, these people probably hate me. No, make people wrong that people aren't thinking bad thoughts about you. So I always know people operate their life based off what they think other people are thinking about them. And I'm just going to show that I'm thinking good about you.
Darn. Thank you for sharing that. And Jay Shetty said it perfectly. I love that quote.
Yeah.
I don't think Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. And
again, so
going
the
back
legacy
to
that
the
I
question
want to
was,
leave.
what is the legacy that he wants to leave? Now you kind of already kind of give it out, but tell me.
I mean, the legacy, I think to me that I want to leave is allowing people, you know, to fully be who they want to be and express the way they want to express. Because I think if there's anything I can show people throughout my story when I'm done this game, whenever it is, if I'm done this game in 20, 30 years and I'm writing a book about this whole, whatever I've done, I said, you know, people always told me when I was young in my career that you're not going to be able to train salespeople with this type of energy. You fast forward 5 years, I've trained the most salespeople in the world in the last 5 years. But in the beginning, I was so criticized that I have too much energy and nobody's going to hire me. And now the thing that I'm criticized for in the past, I'm now complimented for today. So I was criticized for having high energy. And now it's funny that people are like, how do you get this high energy? So
we want that energy.
Correct. And I want people to understand that when you just fully operate the way you want to operate, you will find your crowd. I am not everybody's cup of tea inside of sales.
Absolutely. And that's
but
the
I
beauty
definitely
about
found
being
my crowd.
Yourself, right? And that's the beauty about being who you are and embracing it. You know, this is who I am.
Correct. And by the way, life is easier when you're not trying to satisfy the whole crowd, but when you work with people that are like you. So for example, like you and I, Bertha, we're great energy. It's very easy to do this podcast with you. It's very easy to do this show with you. Life becomes easier when you're just yourself, because then when you find other people like you, it doesn't feel like work anymore.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. That's how right? I feel. I'm like, I do this and it's like so easy.
Correct.
I do mortgages. For me, it's just easy because I enjoy doing it. I love seeing people's reaction when my mother put something together for them. I'm like, yeah, it can be that. Really? And I'm like, yeah. And it's amazing. Like I think that's the beauty of sales. You get to be who you are. And like you said, you eventually align in the right industry, in the right setting, and you find your people. And having you here with that energy, I enjoy your energy so much. It's funny that you said what you said, because at that event, there were two people that came to me afterwards and we were just sharing, right, what we learned, how it was. And two of them were like, he's too quickly. He speaks too fast. I couldn't keep up with him. And I'm like, I love that about him. I'm just like that. Everybody says that about me. Bertha, you speak too fast. You lost me on the second. I'm like, okay, let me slow down.
Yeah.
But that's just, like, you know, who you are. So again, you're going to connect with some. Not everybody's going to connect the same way. And we should be okay with it. You know, we should
and,
be okay
and you know
with
what?
It.
It's impossible, impossible. And I really mean this. It's physically impossible to please everybody. You will go insane. You will quit your business. You will question yourself. It is impossible to make everybody happy. Unanimous love inside a business is physically impossible. Like, you're not going to make every customer happy. You're not going to make the whole crowd happy. When I leave an event, I'm only thinking about the people that, you know, were truly got served by me so I can go serve the next crowd. I'm not thinking about, oh, the people, what didn't they like about me? I'm not thinking about that because I know I can't. I'm not trying to get 100% win rate.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that, because like I said, I experienced it. I was like, yeah, you're right. And it really reminded me of, like, that's me. Sometimes people say, Bertha, you speak too fast. I'm like, okay, that's just me.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I love it.
And I'm always running. I'm always going. So that's me. And I like being like that because that's who I am. That's my personality. And I'm not going to change it because that's who I am. Going forward with that training sales, with all this stuff, you're going to be all over the place. I saw you're going to be in San Diego by the end of the month, right? And then you just came from, where were you? Romania? Where were you?
I was in Romania last week. And then today, as we film this podcast, in 2 hours, I drive to the airport to go to Egypt.
Egypt, OMG. See, you're all over the place. So you're making an impact. And that's amazing. Have you thought about writing a book?
Yeah, the book is actually done. So it will be releasing in about a month from now. We will be releasing our book.
Amazing. So
yeah.
Can you share a little bit about the book, what that project was like?
Yeah, I mean, the book is basically, I won't share the name or anything like that, but it's all, I made it a book where people could take and use it, and they could use it throughout their day. So instead of like a whole storytelling book, I'm like, what is a sales book that people can use throughout their day? So if they have an objection, they can deal with the objection. If they need a close, they can deal with the close. Mm. So it's more tactical 80% than it is storytelling 80%.
Okay.
I wanted a book that can serve as the 21st century sales Bible and guide for people to sell in the 21st century. So it's taken me about 5 years to write because I had to keep revamping it with new things and the way the buyer is changing today. So, but yeah, the book's out. It's going to be out soon. I know everybody's kind of like, when are you going to launch a book? So I said, okay, now I have to do it.
Now you have to do it. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing the book and getting a copy of it. So our audience will get a chance.
You're a person. I'm going to send it right to your house and sign it.
Thank you. As we wrap this up, I really always like to leave our audience with what is the one thing that you will like them to remember about, you know, when they get through sales and as they're going through their days and having, maybe it's in the book already, but maybe you can give us two or three things that you like to leave audience with where they're like, if I ever feel like this, I will remember that Danny G does this for himself, or he'll think that this will be the best way for me to handle whenever I'm feeling down.
Yeah, I always say this, and this is such a good question. I always say, like, always remember that there's at every valley inside of life, there's always a peak right around the corner. Meaning, like, with every low and there's a river of water, the river indicates there's a high somewhere. And when you're stuck in the river, if you always recognize that there's a high, you're going to get a lot excited a lot faster. And if you get excited a lot faster, you'll work a lot faster. And that work will take you out of the river a lot faster. So it's like, for the example, most people can't conceptualize this inside of their business. They're like, yeah, but you don't understand. I say, okay, well, let's just go back to when you were young. Let's say somebody broke your heart when you were young and you're like, oh my God, Jake broke my heart, and you were crying for a week. And then after, you were in that low, you were in the river. And then after, you went to go on and you went out and you went to clubs and you went to go find Mario when you were 17. Now you're like, you're in love with Mario. You're even getting married to Mario. And now you start thinking about Jake that broke your heart when you were 16. You're like, what the heck was I thinking about dating that Jake guy?
What was I thinking?
And by you pushing, you found something better. There was always better around the corner. The job that you had 5 years ago, you would never go work that now, the one that you had. But you thought it was amazing maybe when you're, oh my God, this is paying me so much money. So the reason why I'm saying that is because in every other area other than your business inside of life, every time you were in a low, there was a high right around the corner. So why can't we think that when we're inside of our sales job, that if we're stuck in a bad month and we keep pushing, there's going to be a breakthrough right around the corner in the next 30 to 60 days.
Absolutely.
So that gratitude, being in a low, knowing that there's a valley, that gratitude will get you out of the low a lot quicker. It's like every time you're in a low, you're like, ooh, what does this mean? And now you're truly never stuck in a low, because now you're always questioning, when I'm in a low, what does this mean? What's next? Because with every low, there's another mountain.
Absolutely. Thank you for that analogy. I think it's important that we see ourselves like that. Sometimes, again, we can't see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel because we're going through all the negative stuff. But yeah, having the attitude to gratitude, we're going to get better. Something better is coming along. The example of the breaking your heart is amazing because it is true. Now we look back at the love that we thought it's going to be the end of the world because we don't have it. And now we're like, oh my God, what was I thinking? And it relates to everything. Honestly, you know, even in business, you think about a sale that you didn't get, and they're like, oh my God, I'm glad I didn't get that because look what I got now. And there's always an opportunity every single day we have to be able to go out and just do it, live it again and go another time, try it again. And there's always new business coming our way. I always feel like God blessed us in so many different ways that people get so stuck on the attitude that, oh, everything is bad. Everything is right now with the economy. People are like having all this, news, and they live through those emotions. They just don't allow themselves to look at what they do have. Gratitude. I'm big on gratitude. I don't know. Do you have actually any special routine, morning, nightly routine that you practice?
I mean, for me, of course, like, you know, I think huge for me is just saying, like, thank you, God, for giving me another day, that I'm healthy, etc. But I mean, my next day always starts with my, you know, night of. So the day always starts with the night of. And for me, I'm always like, I think the most important thing for me is that I'm in sales. So I think about the money. So when I go to bed at nighttime, I'm thinking about, where am I going to find my money tomorrow? Like, who am I going after tomorrow? What am I doing and what am I saying? And what I'm doing is, I wish every salesperson can look at, okay, what money do they got to go after tomorrow? What clients? What are the barriers that can stop this person from picking up? What are the potential roadblocks and what are the solutions, like, between every single deal that you have going on? And then you go to bed at nighttime, and then your sleep does something interesting. Subconsciously, it starts going to work. Like, it starts thinking about things, and you wake up in the morning and you get a thought because you were thinking about that before you went to bed. So I say, like, watch what you think about before you go to bed. Think about a deal. Think about the barrier. Try to write down a solution. This is what I'm going to say to them. And then maybe you wake up in the morning, because when you sleep on things, you're like, wait, it's not even that important. Or wait, the solution came in, or whatever the case is, right? So the day of always starts with the night before for me, right? So super important to basically look at what you have going on for the day. And then when you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. Like, you know, think about, I know nobody's said this, but think about making money throughout the day. Like, make it part of your repertoire that I got to go serve somebody and make money today. And that's like one of your standards. Cause then if not, the one day you don't make money, the second day you don't make money, the third day you don't make money, it just becomes part of your standards as a salesperson or entrepreneur not to make money that day.
Yeah, you're right. So preparing the night before for your next day. That would be what I'm taking, actually. Thank you so much for sharing that. Any final thought you want to leave our audience with? What do you want to leave to them today?
I have something, but like kind of off script this podcast, that like you and I doing a podcast right now, if you look at the background story, it's like, you know, get out places and meet people and connect with people, because, you know, if nothing is happening new inside of your life, you got to change the environment. And there's people out there that want more. There's good people out there that want to make money. There's people in new environments. And sometimes we judge just based off the own bubble that we live in, but that's not the reality of the whole world. Like, somebody can go say like, oh, all men and women are bad and bubble, but that's only in your own bubble. Like, you got to get out of your environment. Like, so when people are stuck, the easiest way to get unstuck is change the environment that you're in. Go to new places that you're like, just change the environment. You change the environment, you meet new people. And that's how two like-minded people like you and I connect. And then boom, we could serve more people. But it's just because the environment shift, like say yes to events, get to events, say yes to a company that wants to vibrate high. It's all about environments. Like, what's the environment I'm in, right? So get yourself in a new environment. That's probably the best advice that I can leave people with.
That is amazing, because this podcast wouldn't be possible if it wasn't because of an event that we ran into each other.
Correct.
I was able to meet, connect with you, and here we are today. So thank you so much. That's amazing advice. Get yourself to the next event. Go network. Go meet new people. Change your environment. Change your box. You're in a box right now. Change it. Go into another box. You'll find new things. You'll get excited, and you'll have opportunity to meet beautiful people like Daniel G today. Thank you again for being available for this interview. I had so much fun. I learned so much, and I am ready to go out and apply some of the things you share with us today.
Thank you, Bertha. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Level Up Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are found, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Until next time, we hope you level up.